Well, last Sunday morning, I told you that God changed my message. And we preached on tithing from a perspective of the blood covenant. Well, today I'm going to preach on what God laid upon my heart in the beginning for last week. Much of what Paul wrote in the New Testament was to correct wrong thinking about certain issues. Even after over 2,000 years, guess what? And all the writings of Paul and everybody else, we still have wrong thinking about certain issues. And so we are going to be talking about one of those issues today. And I want to start off by telling you something that may shock you. I don't care what you think about it. I don't even care what I think about it. I care what God thinks about it and whatever it is. And there's been a lot of subjects in the past that I thought one way, and God really brought me under conviction, and I saw how wrong I was, and I had to do a 180 and go God's way. So what we think about it could be wrong. But what God thinks about the issue, what God thinks about the matter, is always right. Because guess what? He is truth. There is no variance in Him. And so if your thinking does not agree with God's Word, God's not going to change. He's not going to say, yeah, they've got different circumstances. I need to change my Word to fit their circumstances. He won't do that. We have to change our thinking. We have to change our lives. We have to change ourselves to line up with God's Word. And especially if we want to be blessed. I told you we were going to be correcting some wrong thinking. Well, in the last few weeks, actually the last several weeks, the issue of tithing has come up in different conversations that I've had with people. And in almost every single conversation, there was a major inconsistency in what somebody thought and what the Word of God says. Well, folks, that bothers me. And again, as you're going to see as we go through this message today, it's not about money. I want you blessed. I want you right with God. And the way you handle your tithe, in fact, the way you handle all of your finances, is a major issue in receiving God's blessings in your life. You will never find anywhere that God says, it's okay. I'm going to bless you no matter what. He does not do that. You have to do things God's way. If you want blessed, you've got to handle your tithes in a specific manner. There is nowhere in the Word of God that God ever says that it's not, or that it's okay not to tithe. In fact, He says just the opposite. God says, try me and see if I won't meet your needs. Some people that I've talked to recently says, well, you know, God understands that we're going through a hard time right now. Well, if you're going through a hard time, you definitely want God's blessings on your life, don't you? You cannot be blessed of God if you're not a tither. That's a strong statement, but folks, we're going to point that out to you here in the Word of God in just a moment. You cannot be blessed if you're not a tither. There is a special blessing upon those who tithe. And that special blessing is not just in financial realms, but yes, it is in financial realms as well. But if you want God's blessings upon you, you have to tithe. And again, if you're going through a difficult time financially, you really need God's blessings upon you. And if you remember last week, I told you there is a blessing on the tithe. It's not 100% minus 10%. It's 90% times God. And I can promise you this, I will take 90% times God any day over 100% of my own effort. I've seen God come through time after time after time after time after time in situations and circumstances that I had no ability to come through with. Now I want you to turn with me this morning to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I would like to go down through these verses, verse by verse. We're not going to do that. I am going to stop and make a few comments as we go down through here. But it does not get any plainer than Malachi and some of the other verses that we're going to read today on how God feels about tithing. And just the fact that there's a special blessing upon the tither really gets my attention. I want and I need God's blessings upon me. We all do. Malachi chapter 3 and starting verse 8 says, will a man rob God? And this is God talking. He said, will a man rob God? Then he says, yet you have robbed me. Wow, that is a strong statement, isn't it? God saying, you have robbed me. And they said, well, wherein have we robbed thee? And he said specifically, in tithes and offerings. Now that sounds pretty drastic right there, but folks, look at the very beginning of verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. God is saying, you have robbed me of what is rightfully mine, and therefore, not only are you not blessed, you're cursed. Verse 10, this starts telling us how to get back into the blessing. He says, bring ye 83% of the tithes. Is that what that says? 22% of the tithes. 18%. 95%. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me. When you don't tithe, you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, you don't have the ability to meet my needs. Well, the truth is, God has the ability to meet your needs, and you don't. And God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now in verse 11 alone, listen to what he says he will do. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not be able to destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. In those verses, I don't know how many times, but it's very clear. If you don't tithe, you're robbing from God and you're cursed. If you do tithe, all the tithe, you are blessed and God is on your side. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he will be defenseless. It says, verse 12, all nations shall call you blessed. Well, how are they going to know you're blessed? They're going to know you're blessed because they can see you're blessed. God's hand is going to be upon you in such a manner, they're going to say, there's no way these people could be doing what they're doing and have what they have and accomplish what they accomplish, except God is with them. So all nations are going to be able to see that you're blessed. I said I'd like to spend more time on that, but we don't have time this morning. Leviticus chapter 27. I need to show you some more how God looks at the tithe. Leviticus 27, starting in verse 30, says, and all the tithe of the land, there it is again, all the tithe, God expects it all, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithe, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. Folks, Malachi and Leviticus make it very clear the importance of giving God our tithes. And if you remember, I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again because we have this great misconception at times. God does not need your money. But you do need his blessing. Us thinking God needs our money is like the owner of McDonald's thinking he needs his child's fries out of the last Happy Meal the fry I just got. Like that's the last fries in the whole store. It's not. I've never been in the freezer of McDonald's, but I can promise you they've got bags and bags and bags and bags of fries. The owner doesn't need that little bitty Happy Meal of fries, does he? And God doesn't need our money. It's not about the money, as you're going to see here in just a moment. But in those verses that we just read there in Leviticus, the word holy is a very key word. It means that it is dedicated or that it is concentrated. In other words, the tithe already has been dedicated to the Lord. It already belongs to Him. That's why when you don't give it to Him, you're robbing Him. It is rightfully His. I said it before and I'm going to say it again. God cannot bless a non-tither. And most of us here, I understand, we would never, ever think about stealing. We would never consider stealing from our friends or our family or anybody else, let alone God. But if we're not giving God our tithe, we're stealing. We're robbing from God. It's holy. It's dedicated to Him. It already belongs to Him. Now let me share this with you. If you can't trust God with your money, how are you ever going to trust Him with your soul? You're talking about something very temporal. And yes, we do need money to survive. But again, first, God is well able. He says, prove me. And like I said last week, tithing is not something you try. I've heard people say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. You just called God a liar. It worked. It works every single time. In fact, I have tried this about every way that you can possibly try it, and it works. It is a law. It's just like gravity. If we all got up on top of the church building and jumped off, would half of us go up and half of us go down? No, we'd all go down. Why would we go down? Law of gravity. Or when God says something in His Word, it is a law. And I, like I said, I've tried this every way. I have tithed. I have not tithed. I have given just the 10%. Giving God just His bare necessity. And then I've given 10% and so much more. And it's a law. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. And again, it's not just financially. When I tithe, everything in my life seems to go so much better because I have God's blessings upon me and I'm not living under that curse. Now, let me share something with you. And you may have never thought about this before, but I want you to really think about this. This is a profound statement. God is not moved by need. God is not moved by your need. Now, yes, on the cross of Calvary, He was moved by need because we needed a Savior. But in every other realm of life, God is not moved by need. The entire Bible reveals that God is moved by deed. Now, I don't have a whole lot of time to go into this, but give you one verse that says, you have not because you need not. No, because you asked not. If God were moved by needs, and folks, India would be one of the most blessed nations on the face of the earth. Because they have more needs than anybody else. Are they one of the most blessed nations? No, they're not. America is one of the most blessed nations. Why would that be? Because America has been more in line with God's word than any other nation. God has blessed us because of our deeds, not our needs. And let me share this with you. If India gets in line with God's word, they can pass America in a heartbeat. Because God will bless people that are doing what He says to do. God is not moved by our needs. Everybody needs to be saved. Is everybody saved? No. God's met that need. But He's not moved by that need anymore. He's not moved by the need of lack of finances. Because there's poverty all around us. Jesus in one place said, you will always have the poor with you. I'm not going to go into this, but if you notice, He said, you'll have the poor with you. He didn't say be one of them. He's also given us principles to live by where we can live under the blessings of God. And when I say poor, that doesn't, he doesn't want you to be poor. That doesn't mean you're going to have $1 million, but it does mean he's going to meet all of your need. To the tither, God has made some astounding promises. Listen to these promises. This ought to grab your attention. God has promised to open the windows of heaven. God has promised to rebuke the devourer for your sake. He has promised to meet your every need. And if you'll study the Bible, you'll find out not only has he promised to meet your need, he promised to meet your need in such a way that you can start meeting other people's needs. God told Abraham, said, I'm blessing you so that you can be a hoarder and that you can get it all and sit on the can, didn't he? No, he said, I'm blessing you so you can be a blessing. If you don't have it, you can't give it. God wants to meet our needs in such a way that we have enough to start giving away. Another promise from God is that he will have men give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He's promised to meet us according to his riches and glory. And I really got to thinking about that this week. I looked up that word riches, and it means just what I thought it meant. His wealth, his excess, his abundance. Folks, when we are tithing, we're not tied to the world's economy. We're tied to God's economy. And if you remember, over in the Old Testament, one time Jacob sowed during a famine, and God gave him a 100-fold return. A famine back then is like a recession or a depression in our day and time. God is not hindered by a bad economy. If we'll do what God tells us to do, he can and he will meet our needs. And those promises I just read to you are great and exceeding promises. Now, here's the whole point of this message. I really want you to listen to me from here on out. And you've been listening, but I want you to pay real close attention. What the Bible says about money and possessions is related to who is number one in your life. It's not about the money. The issue of tithing is not about money. You're telling me give 10%, that's talking about money. No, it's not. It's about your love for God. It's all about our love for God. I love God so much, I have to give back to him. In fact, I love God so much, I can't wait to give back to him. And let me share this with you. I've shared this before, but God just laid it on my heart. Don't just throw your tithe into the offering plate. Take that and pray over it and thank God that you have been given the opportunity to give to him. And thank him for the blessings and for the promises that he's given you. And thank him for all that he's going to do and for meeting your needs just like he said he would. It's a time, folks, that we can worship God and give him glory and give him praise and thank him for what he's going to do and for being true to his word. And if we love God and if we have a great relationship with him, we will want to give. We will be desirous to give. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. Or who gives cheerfully? Somebody that loves somebody. Yeah. I give to Diana very cheerfully. I give to the IRS kind of reluctantly. I love Diana. See the point? When we don't give to God, and when we give reluctantly, we're saying, okay, God, you're kind of like up there with the IRS. I got to give to you. No, you don't. You get to give. You get to give cheerfully. And it has benefits. I want to read something that I read a while back. This, to me, was astounding. This is coming from a secular person. And listen to what he said. This is coming from John Templeton, who is the chairman of the $15 billion Templeton Fund. And he said, I have watched over 100,000 families over my years of investment counseling. Now, let me stop right there. This is a guy that's seen 100,000 families in their financial situation. So he's not a rookie. He's an expert. He's somebody that's been around. And he says, I always saw greater prosperity and greater happiness among those families who tithe than among those who didn't. Isn't that amazing? A secular man says that he has saw greater prosperity and greater happiness among those families who tithe than those that didn't. Sounds to me a whole lot like Malachi chapter 3, doesn't it to you? In a different form. Now, let me share this with you. I understand that for a lot of us, tithing is a sacrifice. Yeah, I will say that. When we get in tight situations, it's amazing what we won't give up. I've had people tell me, I will not give up my satellite, I will not give up my computer, I will not give up my Dr. Pepper or my Coke or whatever it is, I will not give up my potato chip. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But if you have to sacrifice to pay your tithes, it really doesn't make any sense to me. You've got the promises of God. If you make a few sacrifices, you may have to cut back on your cable or your satellite dish or whatever. You may have to do without it. Diana and I have gone with rabbit ears for 9 years, and we had satellite before we moved down here. Guess what? We've been just as happy with rabbit ears as we ever were with satellite, plus saved, what, bunches of bucks a month. You may have to cut back on your pop and your chips or your coffee, or you may have to cut back on something else. You may have to cut back on your cell phone. I get astounded at how much some of us are paying on our cell phones. You may have to buy generic clothing secondhand. I can't do that. Well, you can if you want God's blessings on you. There's a lot of things you could cut out. If you understand the importance of the tithe, I can promise you, you can go through your house and you can find things that you can cut out, and you can make room for the tithe just by cutting out some things. And it's not going to hurt you. Again, going back to the rabbit ears, Diane and I, we still have, well, it's not called rabbit ears anymore, it's called indoor antenna. I guess we're politically correct on that now, who knows. But we're still just as happy with that as we ever were with the satellite. You can give up things, and folks, to get the blessing of God upon your life, it's worth it. It's worth it. It all boils down to this. Tithing is a command. It's just as much of a command as any of the other commands in God's Word. The only difference is, it's a command with a whole list of blessings, a whole list of promises. If you'll do this, I'll bless you. Again, we went through some of them, the window of heaven blessing, a great relationship with God, meet all of your needs, and let me share this with you. If you're a tither, and I haven't actually done any what you'd call research on this, but I've just kind of noticed it in my ministry, that people that are tithers have a better prayer life than the non-tither. Hard to talk to somebody you're robbing from, isn't it? But when you've got a great relationship with somebody and you are a cheerful giver, that relationship just opens up and you can talk to God freely and openly. And He knows that He has all of your heart. And you know you've got all of His attention, so you can have free communication. But when you're not tithing, there's a hindrance there, and there's a bond there. And God has set up a way for you to be blessed, but you have to follow His system. And if you get right down to it, folks, it's not your money after all. It's God's money, and He says, if you'll give me 10%, I'll let you keep 90%. Plus, my blessings. That's a good deal. There used to be a show on TV, may still be on, called Deal or No Deal. That's a deal you want to take right there. I promise you that's a deal you want to take. Now, I do want to put one thing in here. The Bible tells us not to cause anybody to stumble. And in a few cases, there's some people that cannot tithe for this reason. And I'm going to give you one example, and there may be one or two others that are legitimate. But I know of some ladies presently and in the past that their husbands who were not Christians said, no, we are not tithing. Or no, you are not. Most of the time the husband didn't even go to church. The husband is living in the natural realm, has no concept of the spiritual realm. And if that wife said, I am going to tithe, she would be driving a wedge, more than likely, even deeper between that man and God. In those circumstances, God understands. But folks, we have to admit, situations like that do not apply to the vast majority of us. Again, there are those very small exceptions, where we could hinder somebody from being a Christian or hurt them in that way. But again, that is a very small percentage. Most of us don't tithe because we don't understand the blessing that comes with the tithe. We have these misconceptions that I can't live if I give God 10%. We're just barely making it now. Well, the reason you're just barely making it, you're trying to make it on your own. Let me give you a key point. Actually, two key points here. Number one, when I fell in love with God, tithing was no longer an issue. No longer an issue. Just like when we fall in love with somebody, we change a lot of things and don't even think about it. You ladies can really relate to that. In a certain sense, when you fell in love with your husband-to-be, you gave up your identity to take on his identity, and it was never an issue. You went from being Miss So-and-so to Mrs. So-and-so, and were glad to do it because you were in love with that person. Well, folks, it's the same way. When we fall in love with God, tithing will no longer be an issue. And in Malachi's day and in our day, we have a hard time understanding that the way to being blessed is through giving God the very best and the very first that we have. Don't say, well, I'm going to wait till the end of the month, and if there's something left, I'll give it God. Give it to God. The very first. God calls it the first fruits, the very best. God wants that that is without a blemish. I want to close this morning by reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. And again, you're doing a great job listening, but really listen to how the writer of Proverbs puts this. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with your first fruits. Can you honor God and steal from him? No. He says, honor God with your possessions and with your first fruits. In other words, the very best, the choices of all that you have, of all your increase. And here's another promise to us. If we will honor God with our possession and with our first fruits, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Folks, whatever our misconceptions about tithing is, we need to go back to God's Word and see what he has to say about it. And here's the main thing he says about it. Do it and prove me and let me prove myself to you. Every time. I promise you, God will prove himself because he says that he will. It's a promise to us. And you will be blessed. Again, yes, financially, and yes, in so many other ways. Going back to what John Templeton said, the people that tithed were more prosperous and happier than those that didn't. Even the secular world can see the benefits of this. And going back to Over in Malachi, it said that all nations will call you blessed. They're going to see you're blessed because they're going to see God's hand upon you. So I hope if you've got the misconception that tithing is something that I have to do, and it's something that God requires of me, and it's something that I just got to give God this money and get him off my back, you'll start seeing God wants to bless you. And if you'll give him your very best, and you'll give him your very first, and you'll tithe cheerfully and give cheerfully, you're going to see a difference in your life. In every area of your life. I've got story after story going through my mind right now, but I'm not going to share any of those. But I know, I'm sure you've even heard stories of your own of people that started tithing. And I'm going to close with this. I've heard it said, and I've tried it, and I've seen it in other people's lives. You cannot outgive God. There's absolutely no way. The more you have to sacrifice to make sure you've got your tithes for the Lord, the more he's going to bless you. I mentioned last week about the lady that gave her last two mites. Before she got home, before she got home, God blessed her. But I know that he definitely blessed her because why? God says that he will meet our needs. That if we give, that he will prove himself and that he will take care of us. That lady was taken care of, and I think she was extremely well taken care of because it said that she gave more than anybody else. Even though it was a small amount, it was all she had. She made sure that she honored God with her possession. God wants to honor you, and the Bible even says, if we will honor God, that God will honor us. And folks, one way we need to learn to honor him is through our giving. And for those of you that are already tithers, every Sunday when we take up our tithes, I hope you look at it differently. I hope you're standing there in prayer and in praise and in thanksgiving and say, God, thank you for allowing me to give you this and to prove you every single day of my life. Wow. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you right now for the privilege that you give us of giving to you. And Father, I know sometimes we give because we feel like we have to give. But you tell us that if we'll just fall in love with you, the giving will come second nature. And that as we give, that we leave the curse of robbing you, and we walk into the blessing of being a tither. And Father, I thank you for the special blessing and for all of the promises that you've given to us that tithe. And Father, I just thank you for those that we have in this church that are faithful tithers and for the way they support not just this church, but your ministry in a whole. And Father, I thank you for those that are going to start tithing. Because as of today, they see your blessing that you're wanting to pronounce upon them through the tithe that they cheerfully give to you. I thank you for what you're going to do in their lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.